Okay, with the bottom of 9:12. I'm sorry, 9:10. Okay, what's going on is Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven had a lot of cattle, and as we explained, Bnei Gad had even more than Bnei Reuven. That's why they're mentioned first. It was their idea to come up with the stuff. You come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, we have a lot of cattle. We want to stay on this side of the Yarden. Moshe Rabbeinu starts screaming at them. You guys are doing exactly what the Meraglim did. They also didn't want to go into the land. You're weakening the hearts of your brothers. And as we discussed a great length last week, the difference between the Meraglim and Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, the Meraglim were of the opinion nobody should go into Eretz Yisrael. Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven said they should go into Eretz Yisrael, but a few select individuals, they should be the ones that should stay on this. Therefore, it wasn't as bad as the Meraglim. But Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, you're exactly what the Meraglim did. Okay, we're going to start Pasuk Yud. Okay? A few more things before we go further. If you look in Pasuk Hey, or before that, okay, the Pasuk is saying basically, Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven had a lot of cattle. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they start speaking. Okay? Then Pasuk Hey begins, Vayemru, and they said, if we find favor in your eyes, let us stay here. They were in the middle of talking. Why does it say Vayomru again? They came to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayomru al Moshe v'al Aaron, Pasuk Beis. They said to Moshe and Aaron, okay, they said what they said, and all of a sudden it's Vayomru, and they continue. Why does it say again Vayomru? So Farshim explained an interesting thing. They made a statement. See, Moshe Rabbeinu is a very practical guy. Moshe Rabbeinu says, get straight to the point. Don't hack a Chinese. What happened was, they come and they tell Moshe Rabbeinu, we have a lot of cattle, and this is very good grazing land. That's what they said. So Moshe Rabbeinu is waiting. And therefore, like, okay, so what do you want? So they said, Vayemru, now they saw Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, get straight to the point. So they said, so we want this land. First they were beating around the bush. They're pushing scared to come to Moshe Rabbeinu. So they start beating around the bush. You know, we have cattle, and this is good land for cattle. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, and? So finally they said, Vayemru, they got straight to the point. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, you can't do this. This is exactly what the Meraglim did. Okay, v'yicharaf Hashem b'yemahu, Hashem got angry on that day, v'yishav aleim, and Hashem swore the following. But this is going back to what happened by the spies, by the Meraglim. If these people that will go up of Egypt, miben etim shon of amayla, from 20 years and over, if they'll see us, Adam Hashem Ishpati, Lavram Yitzchok Yaakov, that they swore to Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov that they're going to get. In other words, I'm saying they're not going to get it, because they did not follow me fully. Because they didn't follow me. They're playing games. Okay? The Meraglim. Bilti who is going to go? Kalev ben Yefuna Knizi, Yeshua bin Nun. Okay? So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Hashem got angry, he swore nobody's going to go into the land of Eretz Yisrael over 20, besides Yeshua and Kalev. So that's Kim Malatesis. What are you looking for? Here, right there. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, Yeshua and Kalev is the only ones going. So the Mefarshim ask, in a few psukim later, it's going to say, Yoyer ben Menashe, Menashe's son Yoyer, went into Eretz Yisrael. And half of Chatzi Shevet Menashe also got this land, right? That they got Bnei Reuven and half of Menashe, that we'll see later. So Mefarshim ask, why is Moshe Rabbeinu telling them only Kalev and Yeshua? Yoyer ben Menashe from the tribe of Menashe also went into Eretz Yisrael. But the answer is, he was under 20. When they left Egypt, Yoyeb and Menashe have to be under 20. Even though it's difficult to say, because you make a cheshbon, the Jews were in Egypt 210 years. Menashe was born before the Jews went into Egypt. Hello? Menashe was Yosef's son.
Yeah,
Yosef's son. No. And this is Menashe's son. So you have to say Menashe had a kid when he was pretty old. Yair was born when Menashe was pretty old. If not, he would have been over 20 when they left Egypt. But if the Dasken Malatesis answers that Yair ben Menashe was under 20, so then it makes sense, because then he had a kid very late, and he was under 20, so he also went into Eretz Yisrael.
Doesn't the Gemara also say the Levium went in?
The Levium were not part of the Meraglim. They were not part of the Meraglim. Okay. So Hashem got angry at the Jews. Who's screaming at Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven for even coming up with the idea. Hashem got angry at the Yidden. He made them wander in the desert. Aboim Shana 40 years. Ataim Kol Ador until the generation finished. Ha'esa Araba Inei Hashem that did evil. And like we learned, the Gemara says that the Meraglim came back Tisha B'Av, right? And the Jews started crying. Hashem said, now you're crying for nothing, I'll give you what to cry for. So he made the destruction of both the temples and Tisha B'Av, both Bat HaMikdashes. So it says in the Gemara that every year on Tisha B'Av, the anniversary of the Meraglim's return, anybody that hit 60 that year went out into the field, they dug their own grave, they went down to sleep, and they didn't wake up. Very peaceful death. You dug your own grave, you went to sleep, and that was it. Except the 40th year, Hashem took off the Gzeda a year early, and therefore they made a grave, and they didn't die. They woke up, and they said, "Whoa!" So they thought maybe they had the wrong date. Until Tu B'Av, when they saw the full moon, so they knew that obviously they did make a mistake. That's one of the reasons the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, why Tu B'Av, Chamisha Sebav, is a big Yom Tov.
And then they start complaining. Why
they just complain anyway. It doesn't matter. This gentleman's from Australia. When I was in Australia, okay, in 71 to 73, okay, usually Yeshiva Bochum have a rule. They complain about the food regardless. Okay? In the yeshiva where I was in Australia, they had a cook that had steak once a week, that the cook stayed to broil it right before, okay? They had schnitzel once a week, that, I mean, really good food. And guess what? They still complain. They didn't get better in the houses, I promise you. But there's an inyan of complaining. It's synonymous with being Jewish. Okay, and we learned last week also, very briefly, but last week we discussed, which is a thing that doesn't make sense. The Meraglim didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to stay in the desert. Correct? So what was the punishment? That they stay in the desert 40 years. Well, that's exactly what they wanted. What type of punishment is that? So we learned, the Rebbe explained, by Yishchotem Bamidbar, expression that the Torah uses, Hashem shechted them in the Midbar, with the expression of people shechted them. Shechita is an expression of preparing. The desert actually prepared the Jews for going into Eretz Yisrael. Meaning like this. In order for a Jew to go into business world, so to speak, and not become affected, you need first to have the Midbar. Okay. Why did the Meraglim not want to go into Eretz Yisrael? They said, now we have the man, we have the well, we have the clouds, all our physical needs are taken care of. In the desert, we can sit and study Torah. Like the Gemara said, "Leinitna Torah elo leichli aman." Who got the Torah? The people that ate the man. Why? Because those people had no problems. They had no headaches of business, no headaches of shopping. Everything they had, shopping was done, eating was done, business was done. Everything was done. Can you imagine? No cleaning necessary. Everything was done. So the Meraglim said, if we go into Eretz Yisrael, look what's going to happen. The man's going to stop, the well's going to stop, we're going to have to start working for a living. When are we going to learn Torah? That was the sin of the Meraglim, because they were very holy people. When are we going to learn Torah? So, what's the thing? We explained last week, but again, briefly, because a lot of you weren't here last week. Very briefly, before a Jew is able to go into Eretz Yisrael and not be affected by the business world, you first need the process of a Midbar. You need to have seclusion. You need to have learning and davening like they had in the Midbar without any side things in the way. Side distraction. 1 second. So before the Meraglim, the Jews were so great that for a few weeks in the Midbar, they would be able to go into Eretz Yisrael right away into Eretz Yisrael right away and not be affected by Eretz Yisrael, because that they were much greater. After the sin of the Meraglim, the Jews became bad. Hashem said, now, 1 minute. Now, a few weeks in the Midbar is not going to be a good enough preparation that when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to be affected by working and doing all that thing instead of learning and davening all day. So Hashem said, now I need to prepare you because of your sin. Now you need a preparation 40 years to go into Eretz Yisrael that it shouldn't affect you. And therefore we learned, we discussed, that every day before a Jew goes into Eretz Yisrael, meaning before you go into business, you need to spend some time in the Midbar. You need to daven a little bit, you need to learn a little bit, and then you could go into the business world, and the business world doesn't affect you. Just exactly what happened by the Jews in the Midbar. So this, but Hashem is screening them. This is what happened. 9:12. V'nei kamtem tachas aviseichem. Okay, and now you guys are standing up instead of your parents. Ha'esar aben anoshim chatoim lispeis aid al charein af Hashem b'Yisrael. That you're doing the same thing. To add more to the burning wrath of Hashem against the Yidden. Now, the Mefarshim explain, it says in the Medrash, here, in Pasuk Yudalid, Meisha Beinu says, but we just learned, yeah? You got up, risen up in the place of your fathers, a society full of sinners that make the anger of Hashem against the Jews, yeah? So it says in the Medrash, that Hashem said to Meisha Beinu, who are you talking about here? Meisha Beinu says, you're in the place of Aviseichem. Your forefathers are bad, and you guys are bad. That's what Meisha Beinu screamed to them. So Hashem said, Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov were so bad people. Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov were such bad people. And because of that, the punishment, because you have to understand, the great people, how they're punished for even a slight thing that they did wrong. But simply, Meisha Beinu didn't mean Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov. He meant your fathers of the previous generation, the Menachem. Look what they did, right? That generation. But because Moshe Rabbeinu said, your forefathers, he was punished. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson was an idol worshipper.
Wow.
Moshe Rabbeinu. Gershon had a son, Yoenison, Ben Gershon, and in Tanakh, in Shaftim, it says, in Perikev, Shaftim, it's Perikut Chasmi. Yoenison, Ben Gershon, Ben Menashe. Okay? And over there, the nun of Menashe is a little. It's a little nun. So if you take away the nun, you read it Ben Moshe. So it's Yonasan Ben Gershon Ben Moshe. So it says Yonasan, who's the son of Gershon, yeah, was, why did Moshe Rabbeinu was punished that his grandson became an idol worshipper? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said about the others, that they're sinners.
That
there's a lot of different reasons, but this the Medrash says was also one of the reasons.
You got punished for that?
Yeah.
What
his grandson became an idol worshiper.
So he suffered.
Therefore, it says when two people fight, don't mix the parents in there. Don't mix the parents.
What's the connection between the punishment and?
Because he spoke bad about his grandparents. So his grandson ended up to be an idol worship.
Is he a king, the grandson?
No.
No?
No.
So that's why Moshe children of Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't take his place?
No, Gershon and what's the name? Eliezer were great people. Moshe Rabbeinu thought they would be leaders. Hashem said no. If Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't make them leaders if they wouldn't be great and holy people. But Hashem said that's not what the plan is. The plan is Yeshua. Okay. For you will turn away from him, the Yosef Eid Lanicha Bamidbar, and he will again let you rest in the desert, and Vishikhatam Lacholam, as that you can destroy this whole people. Okay, so this is the dialogue going on between Meshur Rabbeinu and Bnei God of Bnei Reuven. Bnei God of Bnei Reuven come and they say, you don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, we want to stay on this side of the Yarden. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu, let us go in. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what are you talking about? You're exactly the Meraglim and you can't do it. And what was the main tithe of Moshe Rabbeinu? Your brothers are going to go to war and you're going to stay here. That was the main complaint of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so let's see what they answer. There's a lot to discuss here afterwards in the whole story, what is going on over here. V'yikshu eila v'yemru. So B'nai God of B'nai Reuven came to Moshe Rabbeinu. They said, listen, Gidris Tzein Nivna L'Makneinu Pei, will build pens for our animals, V'adim L'Tapeinu, and cities for our children. V'anachnu Neinchalit Chushim, and we will arm ourselves to go as the heads, L'Fnei B'nai Yisroel. We will go fight at the head of the army, Adasha Aviunam El Mekaimim, until we bring them back to their place. The Yoshev Tapeinu Bari Amiftzor, and our children will sit in the fortified cities that were built for them. Mimne Yeshvi Horis, because of the, you know, we don't want anybody to come and kill them. And they said like this, not only that, Lo Yoshev El Batenu, we're not going to come back home. Until each person will even get their inheritance. And this is an interesting thing. We know that when the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael, it took them 7 years to conquer the land, 7 years to divide the land. You know what it is to divide land amongst Jews? The miracle is it only took 7 years. It's a miracle. But So over here, the B'nai God of B'nai Reuven is saying an interesting thing. We're not going to go home until everybody gets their share. And it's not only we're going to go fight after the end of 7 years, then we're going to go home. We're going to not go home for 14 years. What? They said because you're complaining that we're not doing anything good. We're going to go ahead and fight. We're going to be in front of them. We're going to do everything. And then we're going to come back.
But if they didn't have a share in their land, why is the second 7 years?
They wanted to show that we're not selfish, that we already have our land, and when everybody is settled, that's where we're going to be settled.
They went home on weekends, right?
They went home on the weekend, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now, what did B'nai God and B'nai Reuven also say to Moshe Rabbeinu? When they said, why are they mixing the inheritance here? They're telling Moshe Rabbeinu, not only, you have to understand, now that we're 2.5 tribes, what they thought two, Moshe Rabbeinu added another half a tribe. That the two tribes are not going into Eretz Yisrael, so we're not getting any land there. That means each one of the other 10 tribes are going to get bigger land. Because the land's going to be divisible by 10, not by 12. So they're saying, that's why you say, until, we're not going to go back, until everybody will inherit. They're basically telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody's going to get more land because of us. Because we're only doing it here. So they're going to get more land.
So Rabbeinu,
but they did a terrible thing here, by the way. We'll soon see. What?
The land of God, did that become holy? Like Esau?
We're going to soon see that this was a preparation for Mashiach. We're jumping the gun, but I'll explain it now. Moshe Rabbeinu, why did he give in to this? Could have said no. But Moshe Rabbeinu, when he got the Torah, he got everything. This is the way the Rebbe explains it in Nasich. He got everything. The Torah, Mashiach's Torah, everything from before. We know that when Mashiach comes, the land of Eretz Yisrael is going to expand. There's going to be three more cities of refuge. There's going to be three more nations. Keni, Knezi, and Kadmeini. Right? The Torah says there's going to be three more nations. Which was part of B'nai God and B'nai Reuven's land, by the way. The expansion of Eretz Yisrael was going to be partially where B'nai God and B'nai Reuven are. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be part in the division of Eretz Yisrael. Like this, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Right? He wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to be part of the leadership of Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to divide, at least for 2.5 tribes, the land which will be part when Mashiach comes. So in essence, Moshe Rabbeinu was really, yes, part of Eretz Yisrael, in the division of Eretz Yisrael, because he was able to give Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, and he divided up the land to them. But they did a terrible sin here. And Moshe Rabbeinu is going to let him have it for this too. If you look in Pasuk Tzayin that we just learned, okay, what did they say? They came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, "Gidris tzei nivna lemikneinu pei." We're going to build pens for our animals and cities for our kids. When Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to them, look in Pasuk, coming up Pasuk of Dalid, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Bnu lochem arim letapchem." And this
money before the kids.
There's the money before the kids. And Moshe Rabbeinu was very upset with them. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why they changed the If you know later, he said in Pasuk Chavav, Tapeinu Nosheinu Mikneinu. Coming up Pasuk Chavav. And the Mefarshim elaborate on this. The power of corruption of money. Their property was worth more to them than their kids. They said, "We're going to build for our animals and for our kids." So some of Farshim explain, okay, these weren't such bad guys. Why did they say what they said, first the animals and then the kids? Because they thought like this. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, it's still wrong. They thought, if we build first pens for the animals, and then inside we'll build for the kids, okay, so then if the enemies attack, they're first going to take the cattle, at least the kids will be safe. Okay, that's how they justify it. That's how Mefarshim justify why Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven said what they said, because if the enemies attack, let them first take our money but not the kids. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, you don't even talk like that. You don't put your properties, your money, before your family. And this is a very important thing, because in life, many people unwillingly put their money before their kids. They're busy working with, they're never home, they never spend time with the kids, never do anything with it. And that's what happens. They're only interested in the properties rather than the family. It's the same thing. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was screaming at them, that that's not what you do. Okay, then Moshe Rabbeinu told them that's not what you're supposed to do. Okay. So the pasuk continues like this. Pasuk Yutes, Pasuk 19. We will not take inheritance the land on this side of the Yarden. For our inheritance has come on the east bank of the river. In other words, we will not inherit until they go over, and then we inherit, then we will take our land. Okay, so finally they gave in to Moshe Rabbeinu. First Moshe Rabbeinu gave him a whole speech, the chutzpah of what you're doing. They yes said, no, that's not what our intent, well, it doesn't say that wasn't our intention. But they say, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, what we're going to do is, we're going to go fight, we're going to wait there 14 years, and then after everybody is settled, we're going to come back and settle this land on the eastern side of the Yarden. Okay. Okay, Pasukov, there's a, okay, 1 second. There's a, okay. There's a few interesting lessons from these psukim coming up. The Yemen Aleihem Meshe Rabbeinu says like this. Okay. Im tasun es hadover hazeh, if you will do this thing, im techotu lefnei Hashem lamelchama, if you will go ahead of the people in battle, va'ovar lachem kol cholutz, and all of your soldiers, every armed man will go lefnei Hashem, adarishas eivav miponav until we conquer the land of Eretz Canaan. By the way, just coming back to what we said before, we discussed already in the past, the seven nations correspond with the seven Midas. Okay? The three nations of Keni, Knezi, and Kadmeini were not conquered by the Jews until Mashiach comes. Right? But then the three nations, the Torah says, are going to be conquered by Mashiach. Why? Because they represent intellect of evil. The seven nations represent the seven Midas of evil that the Jews conquered. The three nations, Keni, Knezi, and Kadmeini, refer to the intellect of evil, like similar to Amalek. And that, the Jews do not have the ability to conquer and transform the intellect of evil to the intellect of Kedusha until Mashiach comes. And therefore, the Jews did not conquer 10 lands, only 7, and the three other lands are going to be only when Mashiach comes, because then evil will be removed, and Hashem will be able to transform even the intellect of evil to Kedusha. Okay. You'll conquer the land. You should be clean from God and the Jews. And then this land will be inheritance for you. Okay? Lifnei Hashem, in the presence of Hashem. Okay? What's interesting over here, there's a pasuk. It's a very important lesson in life. In the middle of Pasuk Chof Beis, the Pasuk says, V'yisim Nikiyim, you will be vindicated. Me Hashem, O Mi Yisrael. This Pasuk the Gemara brings down, the Shulchan Aruch brings down as a halacha. The Torah says you need to be clean from God and Jews. Which means, the Gemara says, if you do something right, but people will look at it the wrong way, it's forbidden to do. You need to be clean from God. You have to come clean from God and from people. You shouldn't say, as long as God knows I'm doing the right thing, I don't care what people think. And people say that. As long as, who cares what people think? I'm doing the right thing.
Example. That's,
huh?
Example.
What?
Example, what do you say?
If you're doing the right thing,
You're going according to halacha. You're doing the right thing. What's the people think? Yes, the Gemara. You hurt somebody. No, no, there's a Gemara. The Gemara gives a few cases of this. There's a concept. You're not allowed to do things that people will mistake it that you might be doing something wrong. I mean, there's one place the Gemara speaks about Chilul Hashem, but the Gemara says in a place where the butcher doesn't give credit. If a rabbi goes in and takes on credit, people don't know that he's getting on credit because the butcher doesn't give on credit. So even though he's not doing anything wrong because the butcher is giving it to him, right? But still, it looks bad. Mm-hmm. You have to be clean from God, and not only from God, but that's the pasuk. Yisim nekiyim me Hashem umi Yisrael. You have to be clean from both. You're not allowed to do things that people might think you're doing something wrong, even though you're not.
Like raising money for somebody and the people.
Whatever. I'll give you another example. I'll give you an example of this. The Gemara says, if you're collecting tzedakah in the streets, right? You're collecting tzedakah for people, yeah. And somebody owes you personally money. They personally owe you money. They meet you in the street, they say, oh, I owe you $10. And they give you $10. It's your money, it's not tzedakah money, right? Halacha says, you're not allowed to put it into your pocket, you need to put it into the tzedakah pocket. Later, when you go home,
you take it out.
Then you could take it out. Why? Because somebody sees you're collecting tzedakah, somebody sees you giving you $10, and you're going to put it into your own pocket, what are they going to think? Are you doing anything wrong? No. But this is an example the Gemara gives. You have to be clean from God and from Jews. Okay? You can't do something wrong, even though it's not wrong. But if people will think that you're doing something wrong, then you're not allowed to do it.
Is that why Kohanim do not pocket?
The Kohanim, when they went, yeah, when the Kohanim went into the Lishcha, into the, to take the money out for the Kabbonis, they went in Gemara's garments without pocket. Like, Gemara, by the way, quotes this possible in this case, you're right. The Yisim, the why did Kohanim not walk in with pockets in their clothing? That nobody should say, oh, they ripped off a few bucks on the way, you know, when they were in there. Yisim Nikiyim, you have to be clean. Even though it's between them and Hashem, but you need to be clean from another Jew also. Which means, it's important to take in consideration what people think. Now, if you're talking about people think you're crazy for davening and you know, doing, that's a different story. You know, if people think you're crazy for davening and being religious, okay, then whatever, they're right, but whatever. But then you don't have to listen to people. You don't have to take people's thing into consideration. But generally speaking, you need to consider the way people think if you're doing something right or something wrong, and, you know, that's what the story is. Okay. Now Moshe Rabbeinu says like this. V'im lo yisa'asun keid, and if you're not going to do this, you're not going to go fight. Hinei chatosim l'Hashem, you sinned. Udu'u chataschem, you should know your sins. Asher timsa eschem, that's going to be with you. Okay? Now, I'm going to... B'nu l'chem odim l'tapchem, build... the cities for your kids first, ugdeiros itzeinachem, and the fences for your sheep, vayetim mipichem tasu, and you have to keep it because they promised, you know, that they're going to wait until after the 14 years. This is an unbelievable. Yeshiva boys know this stuff, I hope. This is the first condition mentioned in Chumash on a deal. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling B'nai God and B'nai Reuven, I'm making a deal with you. If you go, you will get it. If you don't go, you're not going to get it. That's Moshe Rabbeinu making a deal. Okay? B'chlau, generally speaking, from an intellectual point of view, deals don't make sense. Now we're learning Gemara Tuzanei Kedushin, yeah? We learned. A guy does Kedushin with a woman on the condition, this and this and this. How can verbal condition change an act? The man gives the ring to the woman, says it at Mekudeshesli, which is the action of Kedushin, and then he says, on the condition. How can verbal conditions change an action? Or if I sell you something on the condition you do something, right? Or I give you something on the condition you do something. So the Gemara says the whole concept of conditions that they work is learned from this pasuk, these psukim of Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. And therefore, because the way Moshe Rabbeinu is phrasing these conditions, the Gemara learns out that any condition needs to have four details. Just like over here. And if the condition, any of the four are not met, the condition is not a condition. And then the action stays in action, and the condition is null and void. Okay? Whether it's only by monetary laws or by kedushin is a big machlokes in the Rishonim. The Rambam holds any condition in anything, whether it's marriage, divorce, monetary things, it has to be that we're still going to learn the four conditions. Some people say it's only by get and kedushin, where these four details apply. What are the four details? We're going to discuss the details, and then we'll see where Moshe Rabbeinu said it. Number one, it has to be what's called a tenai kafel, a doubled condition. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say here? If you go, you'll get it, right? And if you don't go, Moshe Rabbeinu said, then you're not going to get it. Correct? The Chayda, Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you go, you'll get it. Seemingly, it's understood. And if you don't go, You're not going to get it. But Moshe Rabbeinu verbally said that. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you go, then you'll get it. And if you don't go, you're not going to get it. From there, the Gemara learns out, number one, any condition you make has to be doubled. If you do it, yes, and if you don't do it, no. And if you don't do that, the condition is not a condition. Moshe Rabbeinu says, in Pasuk Chaf, right? Im tasun as davar, if you do this, correct, and you go first, right? Then in Pasuk Chaf Gimel, 23, Moshe Rabbeinu says, v'im lo yisa asun kein, and if you don't do it, then you're not going to get it.
When somebody
a lulav and
esrog, we don't usually have the second condition.
It's not a condition. It's matana. That's a different story. That's number one. Another thing, the yes condition has to be before the no condition. How did Moshe Rabbeinu say it? If you go, you get it. If you don't go, you don't get it. Which the Gemara learns out, if you say it the opposite way, if you don't go, you're not going to get it. And if you do go, you're going to get it, the condition is off. It's not a condition. So number one, you need the condition to be doubled. You have to say, if you go, yes, and if you don't, no. Number one, the positive is before the negative. You have to say, if you go, you'll get it, and if not, not. The third condition is, the condition has to be before the action. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Moshe Rabbeinu said like this. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, you're going to get the land if you do this. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you do this, then you'll get the land.
Say that again. If you...
Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you do it,
then you get the
then
land.
You get the... He didn't say, you'll get the land if you do it. This. Seemingly, it's petty differences. But the fact that the whole concept of a condition, that a condition could change an action, is a new thing, a chiddush. So therefore the Gemara says, if it's not exactly like B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain, which is the original source of conditions, then it's not a condition.
It even defies normal logic. If you say this and this, it's the exact same. If A and B, it's the same as B and A. But it's crossing like, that off.
Right. And the fourth thing, it has to be a condition that you're able to do. If somebody says, I'll give it to you on the condition you go to the sky. It's impossible. So therefore, that's not a condition either. If somebody says to somebody, I will give you $100 if you fly to the sky. Yeah? The din is, the condition is not a condition.
And you owe him
$100. And you owe him $100.
And you owe the $100?
Because Moshe Rabbeinu gave him the condition.
No, but he didn't give an opposite. And if you don't do it...
No, okay, but I'm saying with him.
There is the pasuk that says the action has to be before
the... Huh? Beginning. No, the Tanai Kedem Lemaisa.
The Tanai Kedem Lemaisa?
Right.
What pasuk?
Moshe Rabbeinu said, Im Yavru b'nei Gadu b'nei Ruvain, then they'll get it. Well, it's really here also, but it's later on. V'yayim emei shaleim, he called Elazar and Yeshua, Im Yavru b'nei Gadu b'nei Ruvain yitchem, then you get it. V'im lo Yavru, then they're not going to get it. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, four, and this is a very important din, by the way. In order for a condition to be a valid condition in Torah, and according to the Rambam and many, many opinions, by every type of condition, not only by get and kedushin. In fact, they ask, how can the Sturif really that says it's only by get and kedushin, and they ask, but the Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven was by money. So the whole discussion in Poskim about it. Anyway, so Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us how to make a condition.
Where is the source that it has to be doable?
Because he told them the fact that they could do it, and they will do it. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, clearly in the Chumash, and he's going to reiterate it, which is interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu calls over the leaders, and he reiterates this whole deal in front of them. Okay, so the number one, it has to be a doubled condition. If you go yes, if you don't go no. Number one, the yes has to be before the no. It has to be if you go yes, if you don't go no. You can't say if you don't go no and if you go yes. It has to be Tanai Kedem Lamaisa. The condition has to be before the action. If you go, you'll get it. Okay? And fourthly, it has to be a condition that is feasible. Huh? It's possible to do. What?
So he made this decision completely on his own, or he didn't consult?
Did Hashem agree with him?
Yeah.
Obviously, he did. The Torah doesn't say, Moshe Rabbeinu said, let me hear what Hashem said. Okay? Because by Pesach Sheni, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, you know, let me see what Hashem said, because they merited that a new halacha came about before them, because they meant well.
Okay.
These guys didn't mean well. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to say, let me wait and see what, obviously this is what Hashem said. Moshe Rabbeinu can't do this on his own.
That's what I'm saying.
It sounds like it in the Chumash.
It's tomorrow night.
Huh?
Pesach Sheni.
Yeah, tomorrow in the Pesach Sheni, yeah.
What's God's opinion on this?
Who?
What does God think about it? He approves, but...
He approved, it, obviously.
He was happy about it.
How did they know that the fertile lab had a sheep in the inside? I haven't been there.
What was it? It was yes or no condition, then result.
No, they just knew that this is good land.
It seems to be double.
Double, yeah. Condition and the result.
In Yiddish, there's an expression, was a zicher a zicher. What's definite is definite.
What?
Whose land was this? This is the land of Sichin and Eig that they conquered from Sichin and Eig.
Well, basically, it was ownerless, right?
Right now, it was ownerless.
Oh, what it is now?
But what they wanted that they should have the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. That's what they wanted.
But they're
going to get it. Huh? Eva Yarden had the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Not the same Kedusha as Tumas Maisa's all the dim. It had the Eretz Yisrael.
But Amashiach time is going to be here with
the Kedusha all over the world.
No, also on the same day, no?
Yeah, yeah. But these are the conditions that Moshe Rabbeinu made with them. Huh? Okay, Pasuk Chafei. V'yemer b'nei Gadu b'nei Reuven al Moshe l'emer. B'nei Gadu b'nei Reuven said to Moshe, you know what? Avadecha yasu kasher adun adeni mitzava. We're going to listen whatever you called us to do, we're going to do. And he said, what are the things that right away changed their language? Tapeinu, nosheinu, mikneinu, v'chol b'amteinu. Our kids, our wives, our cattle, all the animals, ubir nore agilod. Okay, here, by the way, they added wives. Before, they didn't say anything about the wives. Moshe Rabbeinu also didn't say.
They
got to think about it. And it's interesting, Rashi asks, it's a Vayomer b'nei Gadu b'nei Reuven. Should say Vayomru. Okay, Vayomru. When I say Vayomer, they said it like one man. That means they all agreed. It was like one voice, one united voice, which itself is another miracle. But this is a, you know. Okay. Vayitzav, I'm saying, Vadecha Yavru, and your servants who go Kol Chalutz Sava, you know, in front of the army, Lifnei Hashem LaMelchama, Kasher Adoni David. So it's interesting. Moshe, the Meraglim, I mean not the Meraglim, the Bnei Gadu Bnei Reuven said, even though Moshe Rabbeinu screamed at them first about, you know, you staying here and everybody's going to go first, Moshe Rabbeinu made 2 points in this speech to them. Number one, you guys are going to stay here and everybody's going to go fight. And secondly, he fixed up the language with the kids and the animals. So they first said the second thing first. They said, we will build things for the wives and kids, and then for the animals, and we're going to go in the front. So they understood that Moshe Rabbeinu, probably this was more important. Because the Bnei God, the Bnei Reuven had this... in fact, the Kli Yoker says an interesting thing. Sometimes it says Bnei God, the Bnei Reuven. Here, Bnei God, the Bnei Reuven. All the way at the beginning it says, Mikna Rav Hayu Levnei Reuven V'Levnei God. All the other times it says God and then Reuven. Right? So there's two reasons. Number one, God came up with the idea. That's why they're first. But the truth is, and Mefarshim explained, because people that have God was richer than Reuven. The people of God were rich, and rich people have a chutzpah. So Bnei God went first, even though Reuven is older. Bnei Reuven should go first. But that was their chutzpah. And the chutzpah affected them that they appreciated their money over their families.
Were they the best fighters for these
things? Bnei God was the best fighters. But Torav Zeraya Af Kotkeid, they were blessed, that with one chop of a sword, they were able to do a diagonal slice. They cut the head and the hand at the same time. With one hand motion. No, it shows how strong they were.
You cut the head, it doesn't matter what happens.
It's strong, it's such push the strength. Because you have to cut the head and the midas of evil. Not enough to take off the head of midas, of evil.
The hand is the midas?
Shon Shayat is the midas. The action.
They give it to the dog?
Huh?
They give them to the dogs?
What? The people? Okay, let's go top of the page. Huh? Weiter. 9:14. V'yitzav la ha-meisha salazar ha-kem v'tishua b'nun v'tzoshi ha-vei samatis v'nei Yisrael. So Meisha Rabbeinu got everybody together. Okay? Until now, the Mefarshim explained this was done between Meisha Rabbeinu and Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. Okay? Now, he wanted them that it should be public knowledge. So the Mefarshim explained, why does it say Elazar then Yeshua? Yeshua is going to be the leader. Should have said Yeshua first, and then Elazar HaKohen. Right? So the answer, because Elazar HaKohen Gadol did the Urim V'Tumim. The land was divided based on the Urim V'Tumim. You know, they cast lotteries. It was more land, less land. That whole thing that we discussed already in Parshas Pinchas. So it says Elazar HaKohen is first because Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him this has to be decided and agreed upon by the Urim V'Tumim, which is the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, to decide even Bnei Gadol and Bnei Reuven how to divide the land. Right? They also have to divide the land in a proper way between themselves. And not only that, Moshe Rabbeinu tagged along half a Shevet Menashe, as we'll soon see, with a whole discussion why. But that's
why
the same.
Why it took 7 years? Urim V'Tumim they were doing it, you know. The computer does it just keep check. Why 7 years?
The first they did the Shvatim, then they did each family.
They did Shvatim, they did families, they did there was a lot of other issues.
My grandfather,
who belonged to which tribe?
They had the Golim and they
Sefer Yuchsin. But you know, there was Shlemis Bas Divri, that whole story. Right? Because his mother was Shlemis Bas Divri and Mati Don. And he wanted a Chelek and Don, but his father was the Mitzvi. Right? So they had to organize who is from which tribe, who belongs actually to each tribe. It was a complicated process.
They did a title search.
No, dealing with it, it's ought to be done with permanent and exact boundaries, families. I mean, it was a complicated story.
My grandfather was at a conference at Potsdam that ended World War II.
No.
With Churchill, Stalin, Truman there, dividing the whole world up after World War II.
Yeah, it probably took them. They're still not settled. Okay. They're still fighting about it.
They didn't take 7 years.
Okay, we'll leave it here.
Shkoff.